Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 40. This is March 20th, 2013. I'm going to talk a little bit about revealing and talking to your partner about things and having the courage to do that tonight. It'll be a little bit of a recurring theme. What made me think about it, first of all, is I was talking with a friend tonight, and he told me his partner of 20-odd years told him that she had a favorite sexual fantasy, but she didn't think she would ever be able to actually tell him what it was. And my reaction when my friend told me this is ouch, basically. It just sounded so sad. Because the first thing that went through my mind when I heard that was putting myself in his position, basically, and thinking about how it would feel to hear if I was him. And to me, it would feel like my partner didn't trust me enough to reveal a deeper part of themselves. And, you know, not just a deeper part, but a longing, a sexual desire, a favorite fantasy. I mean, I think I would always wonder what that fantasy was. Like, maybe when we were having sex, I'd be wondering what it was. And I'd be trying to think about how to get them to tell me, you know, using alcohol and persuasion, perhaps. But it would be painful to be told that something like that existed and have them unwilling to share it with me. Because I think that revealing things like that can make the difference between a good sex life and a great sex life. I mean, okay, we all know the reveal is scary, because if you have a relationship, certainly one of 20-odd years, you have so much invested and you don't want to be rejected. But isn't it ironic that the people we love the most in the world and that we're the closest to, we sometimes have the most fear of revealing things to, because you have so much invested, for fear of rejection. And you know, there's no guarantees. Sadly, that's so true. I mean, I wish I could say that every relationship in which a partner revealed a secret desire turned out well, but that is absolutely not true. And yet, if you have a trusting, accepting relationship that you feel pretty able to be open about things in, and your partner is GGG, chances are pretty good that your reveal will be a positive thing instead of a negative thing. And you'll then be a little bit closer together. You'll have a little bit more intimacy for the courage and trust that it took to reveal that. And there is, of course, the chance that your partner will hear your expression of desire and revealing of your fantasy and decide that they want to give you exactly what they want. I mean, I hear stories like that a fair amount of the time. Think about that for a minute. They might decide right after you tell them that they are totally up for giving you exactly what you have been fantasizing about for possibly years and years, and felt completely unable to tell your partner about. And, you know, back to my friend, that's what felt so sad about this, was that in her unwillingness, and probably how she feels it is an inability to express this desire to him for fear, more than likely, of being judged and or rejected, she puts herself solidly in a position of never having the chance to have that desire fulfilled, because she won't express it. So if you do express it and you have a partner who wants to just jump right in there and give you exactly what you've been fantasizing about for years, you know, there can be happy endings. We talk about them all the time here at Pegging Paradise. We play the music, we have a good time. But in the end, you are the only one that can weigh the consequences. And I take that very seriously. It's a little scary sometimes when people ask me advice about, you know, should I tell my partner? I don't know whether you should tell your partner, because you're the only one that can weigh those consequences. I've talked to men who are pretty happy with their sex lives, even without the pegging. And so upon weighing those potential consequences, they're fine with keeping it as a fantasy, and they hang out here a little bit at Pegging Paradise and listen to my podcasts, because they know their partner well. They know that perhaps they're sexually very conservative and they fear repercussions or upset. I've also talked with men who have discovered anal pleasure themselves and began to really crave that kind of stimulation and crave pegging and discovering and exploring that. And they've decided that they had to say something no matter the consequences, that it was something they felt like they couldn't live the rest of their lives without. And sometimes that turns out well, and other times it doesn't. I've also talked to men who, after revealing their desire, were sadly and soundly rejected. They were called gay, left by their partners, very, very sad things. And I have also talked with men who were left in that manner. They went through the transition and the heartache, the separation, and then they found a sexually compatible partner with whom they are now having the best sex of their life and are the happiest they've ever been. And this is a whole range of possibilities here. And I really wish there were guarantees, though I really do. The interesting thing I see about all this is, you know, as I talk about it, obviously I'm talking about the men who want to reveal. I do talk to women who want to reveal their desire to explore pegging with their guys. And I have talked to them about them on my podcast. But somehow it never seems to be quite as serious. And I guess what I mean by that is that, you know, obviously I've talked with men who have literally been left and divorced because they revealed this desire to their partners. I've never talked with a woman about that. Usually I talk to younger women about this, sometimes more middle-aged, and the women are unsure as to how to approach their boyfriend with it. The times that I can recall that I have spoken with women about this, they usually manage to talk their guy into it. I honestly can't recall ever speaking with a woman who said, yeah, you know, I wanted to do this to my guy, and he freaked out and left me. Never have I heard that. So there's the gender inequality there. And, you know, that arises from the men wanting, that arises from there being more men who want to explore this and experience the pleasure than there are women who are totally down with giving it a try. And you guys all know I'm working hard to equalize those numbers for you. And I still wish they were guarantees, damn it. So I came across a post yesterday, and it was the usual post from a single guy looking for a woman to peg him. And I posted my usual advice in response to look for a sexually open-minded woman to have a relationship with and then approach her with the concept of pegging, or alternatively, go to a pro. Predictably, there was one commenter after me on that thread that said something I hear echoed quite a bit on these threads whenever sex workers are suggested as an option or professionals. And it was something like this: never paid for sex in my life, and I'm not going to start, and I don't recommend anyone pay for something you can get for free. Okay, that's one way to look at it. But I had a real reaction to that comment, partly because I follow the lovely Miss Maggie Mayhem. I spoke of her briefly at the about the Catalyst Con in September of last year, because I actually got to meet she and Ned and Maggie Mayhem. They have some wonderful porn, and they're amazing, incredibly intelligent people. And I follow Miss Maggie Mayhem on Twitter, and lately she's been tweeting a fair amount about discrimination and prejudice and judgments and basically shitty attitudes against sex workers. Sex workers are kind of treated as less than all over the place, and, you know, personally, I don't give a fuck that sex work is illegal. That's bullshit. Those laws are backwards and they're puritanical. I believe that sex workers provide a very real service in this country. You know, all you have to do is be in the trenches here of talking about sexuality and seeing how people struggle with different things and seeing the different circumstances they can find themselves in. And all you have to do is be here and start talking to people and hang out for a while, and you will very quickly come to see how sex workers provide a very real service in this country. And for those of you listening in other countries that allow legal sex workers, awesome, know that you are way ahead of sex-negative USA in that area. But basically, sex workers deserve respect. They deserve to have safe working conditions. They deserve to be taken seriously when they're raped or assaulted instead of being treated like a subhuman that deserved what they got. There's a whole lot of really bad attitudes about sex workers. But getting back to the comment, in the context of single guys looking to explore pegging. Okay, so can a man find a partner who will peg him for free? Sure. Is it a difficult thing to do unless he's like incredibly hot, single, and awesome? Well, judging from all the posts on just about every pegging group that allows personals around the internet, I would say the answer to that is an unqualified yes. Perhaps a little less difficult if you're from the younger generation who are maybe in their 20s, who seem to be more open-minded about pegging, but still it's not an easy thing to accomplish. There are men on forum boards I frequent who have been looking for years, literally without success. Are there actually women out there who love to peg men and would enjoy a wild night of pegging with a relative stranger for free? Yes, there are. A few, here and there. They are exceedingly rare and are usually looking for the incredible, hot, single, and awesome men. So for a normal single guy who is a pegging virgin, and he's looking to explore this, you know, regarding the choice between going to a professional or trying to find a woman to peg him for free, let me illustrate the comparison for you, if you would indulge me for a moment. Okay, let's talk about for free. Yeah, if you're a single guy, you can try to find a woman who is into pegging. You can approach the women you meet, and you can possibly have them reject you as a result. You can worry about whether these women will go and tell everyone in your social circles that you want to be fucked up the ass. This may not be a concern for some of you, but if it is, it's a very real concern. You can be concerned about buying equipment and whether it fits her correctly and whether she'll be able to or even want to get off, or whether the steep learning curve is going to frustrate her and maybe she'll refuse to try it again after the first frustrating experience. You can hope that she will not, in her inexperience, hurt you. And you can hope that the communication between you will be adequate enough to facilitate a decent experience, because good communication is really essential for pegging. And good communication rarely exists between people who don't know each other very well. Now, this all sounds really negative. Don't mistake me here. Experiencing the adventure of strap-on sex with a partner who you are already in a relationship with can be amazingly awesome, because all of those things I just mentioned, equipment questions, the communication, the learning curve, the making sure she doesn't get frustrated, the making sure you don't get hurt, and that both of you find pleasure, all of those things are still paths that you get to travel. But you have the foundation of a trusting, loving, communicative relationship to contain it all and to find your way through all of that to the ecstasy that's possible. So you don't have that foundation with a woman you just find and ask to peg you. I am not saying that experiencing pegging with a relative stranger never works. It can, but for all the reasons I have outlined, the odds are way against you. So now let's look at choosing to go to a professional. Consider the contrast here of the professional experience. You contact her. She communicates with you, which is part of her job, to discover exactly what kind of experience you're looking for. Are you looking to combine a couple of other kinks with the pegging to enhance the experience? Or maybe are you completely new to anal, maybe? And she asks all the questions that she needs the answers to figure out what you need and to give you the best experience. When you go to see a professional, it is absolutely in her best interest to provide you with the optimum experience to the best of her ability, so that you're a satisfied customer and that hopefully you return, or even recommend her to others if that's something you recommend to your friends, which would be awesome if you did. She will give you instructions on how to prepare for your visit, tell you what to bring, what to do. You don't have to worry about her inexperience or being rejected by her because of your desire for pegging. You don't need to be concerned about her pleasure or selecting and paying for the right equipment. And you get to experience pegging for the first time with someone who knows exactly what they're doing and wants you to have the best experience possible. If she offers pegging as a service, she's quite likely to be more safe, clean, and knowledgeable than maybe the, perhaps, let's say, the woman you met at a party who says, sure, I'll peg you. What professionals offer is the ability to tailor the experience to your desires and fantasies, but they also offer the knowledge to make it happen safely and satisfyingly. You're paying them, so it's an equitable exchange. It's a win-win, as it were. And doesn't that take the stress out of the equation and just let you relax and enjoy it? Think about it. Because prejudice against sex workers frustrates me because they rock. And when I say, well, you can look for a relationship and try and talk her into exploring pegging with you, or you can actually go to a professional as well. I so mean that. I think it is an awesome choice for single guys, certainly a less frustrating choice. And if you're going to go out and buy the equipment anyway, I honestly have no idea what the rates are for a sex worker to do pegging, but, you know, take some of that money you were going to spend on equipment and go have the experience. And then you'll know whether or not you like it. And then you can decide what your next step is, whether you're going to go look for it in a relationship or whether you're just maybe going to continue to visit the sex worker once in a while. It's all up to you. But it's a very valid choice. And that's kind of what I wanted to express. And just to give you all the reasons why, there are a lot of them. And it pisses me off when that attitude is pulled. I've never paid for sex. Yeah, well, and good luck finding someone to peg, you asshole. Oh, that was a bad pun. That just sort of came out. All right, you guys, let's move on from there. That was a bit of a rant. Here is a question that comes up pretty regularly, so I'm going to answer it one more time. I am a female and traditionally more submissive in the bedroom. I'm into being told what to do, thrown around the bed a little bit, and generally him being in control. Recently, I've gotten interested in the idea of pegging a guy, but the dominance aspect of it doesn't turn me on. Most of the things I've read about, it seems to come from the perspective of the woman being the dominant partner once she straps it on. Is there anyone who comes at this the other way? Can you submissively peg a dude? Absolutely, you can be submissive and peg a guy. Or to be more specific, the guy can be dominant and get pegged, which is usually the direction I answer this question from. Because it usually comes from guys concerned that somehow this means they're automatically submissive if they get pegged, and they don't lean that way at all. So they discover that they get a lot of pleasure from their prostate, and then they want to have that pleasured, and then they get really concerned that it all of a sudden means that they're submissive. Not so. If you like to play with him throwing you around and telling you what to do, he can maybe give you exact instructions about exactly how to fuck him. Or perhaps he can hold you down and ride you, or tie you to the bed and ride you, or tie you to a chair and ride you. I like tying. Or you can give him a blowjob and hold the dildo in your hand, and you can fuck him with it as sort of an act of service. Sometimes this is a bit difficult to navigate, this whole pegging and the whole dominance and submission thing. Because, you know, dominant is usually seen as the active fucking one. Submissive is often connected to the receiving and being vulnerable. But, you know, with a bit of imagination and creative use of commands and restraints and positions, you can really overcome that, I think. It doesn't have to be boxed into these assumptions of roles. A fellow blogger, I left her. She's in my blog role now. I believe it's called Silver Something's Toy Box. She wrote me and said it was kind of amazing because they put up a picture of a strap-on, And all of a sudden, all of her number of people wrote her and sort of assumed she was going to be dominating her husband in bed, which was not the case at all. And it really surprised them, because that really wasn't ever the way that they'd considered it. And that's fine. See, it can be done any way you like it. Okay, so pegging celebration time. Ha ha. Dear Ruby, I love your blog and the podcasts. Really nice work. I have been looking in for a while, learning about pegging, and found your site to be one of the most informative and affirming. I'm a straight male, early 50s, and have been in a new relationship for a couple of years with a lady about the same age as myself. So I'll tell you how I came to be interested in pegging. My girlfriend and I have both been around the block, had conventional sex lives, marriages, kids, etc. I think we have both had fairly vanilla sexual experiences to this point in our lives. We are in a long-distance relationship and don't get together as often as we would like. The sex was passionate but fairly conventional at first, nothing kinkier than a bit of mutual, playful spanking. Well, that was before she bought a riding crop and a leather flogger, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, we were fooling around one time and I said something about wearing her panties next time we had sex. So she sort of paused and asked me if I was serious and would I be willing to try stockings and a bra, too. I was a bit taken aback. I had never thought of cross-dressing, and it really was not on my menu of sexual activities, but I love her and trust her, so I said, sure, I'd love to try it. She told me that it was a long-standing, unfulfilled fantasy of hers to make out and have sex with a guy in sexy female lingerie. And she also said she'd never told anyone before because she thought she might be ridiculed or judged, and it might seem like she was really bi or gay. Anyway, I was honored she trusted me enough to get over the what will he think of me thing and communicate her slightly kinky fantasy. Long story short, I bought some lingerie and a pair of size 12 heels and tried it. A bit of a revelation for me. I felt very sexy and pleasantly naughty to be wearing female clothing, and strangely liberated. Next time we were together, we showered together, and I went to her spare bedroom to dress. She went to her bedroom to get ready. I'm not sure I specifically told her before that I was going to dress up for her. She was waiting, wearing her stockings and sexy panties and bra. I showed up fully dressed in a short skirt and top, shoulder-length wig, bra, panties, stockings, and heels. She gasped and broke into the biggest grin like a kid in a candy store. Anyway, she couldn't keep her hands off me, and we had a long, hot session together, with me going down on her dressed en femme, and ending with me fucking her doggy style, still wearing stockings. All the other items had been peeled off by that stage. I think we both found the experience liberating and mind-opening. I actually felt it put me in a different psychological state, dressed en femme. More feminine, less overtly masculine. And having sex with me dressed like that was strangely ambiguous. For me, adopting a feminine role was like being part of my own lesbian sex fantasy. Anyway, it really opened us up to the fact that gender and sexuality is a continuum, and males and females both have some aspects of the other gender in their psyche, and it is okay to explore those other parts of us. Having introduced this gender role play into our sex, and having discovered how liberating and how hot it was, I began to want to take it a step further. So now the shoe was on the other foot. I began to create my own fantasy that I was shy about sharing. Will she be shocked? Will she think it's gay? Anyway, I found enough courage to come out with it and told her I had a fantasy of dressing in lingerie, etc. And after me going down on her and giving her a toe-curling orgasm, having her take me like a girl and fuck me in the ass with a strap-on, she thought for a few seconds and said, It was not something she had ever considered, but she would be willing to give it a try. Then she also said that, as I'd totally taken her fantasy on with gusto, she understood where I was coming from and wanted to reciprocate. So that's where it stands. I bought her a harness and dildo, which we have not tried yet, but plan to soon. I also read and showed her a lot of the FAQ stuff on your website. If she was a little hesitant at first, she has gotten past that and is now excited at the prospect of trying it. Maybe not quite 100% as excited as me. I have been experimenting with solo ass play with a butt plug and dildo of my own and have found it's really, really amazing. So I'm pretty sure from my side it will be a success. I feel so lucky to have found such a GGG and naughty partner. I had never even thought about trying cross-dressing, let alone pegging, before this all happened. So I've learned the benefits of keeping an open mind and being willing to explore new things. Oh, we still like to incorporate a little playful spanking into the proceedings, too. But the riding crop and flogger add a few more ouches between the giggles. The problem is, we both want to be the sub when it comes to impact play, so we just have to take turns. And isn't that what it's all about, really? Thanks for the great blog, Ruby. You rock. I have the warm fuzzies. Oh my gosh, that is such an inspirational letter. Thanks for sending that. To hear how you both ventured into that totally scary, revealing territory, and you trusted that your partner could handle the reveal and wouldn't freak out, that's such a beautiful process in a relationship. You know, I have a mantra that I think I've shared before on this podcast, but I'm going to say it again. This is something I try and live by. In each and every moment, we all have the choice to either contract with fear or expand with love. And I choose love whenever I can, whenever I remember to. And so did you guys. Imagine you could be still sitting there having relatively satisfying conventional sex while you both keep a secret fantasy tape playing in your heads the whole time. And you know, when you do that, a wall kind of separates what you're thinking about from what you're doing with your partner. And a lot of times that degree of separation, it can often be felt. I love the fearless reveal. I love it. I mean, it takes so much courage because rarely do all of our kinks match perfectly. But the trust, vulnerability, and the courage present in moments like this, it's truly remarkable. Totally remarkable. Good for you, too. I so celebrate you. And what an unusual way to find out about pegging. I have never heard of that before. It's totally cool. It's really, really nice. Okay. Let's see, some closing news for you guys. CatalystCon East just happened on the East Coast in Washington, D.C. This is the convention that goes back and forth from the East Coast to the West Coast every 6 months. And I blogged and podcasted all about it in quite a run of enthusiasm when I came back from the one in September here on the West Coast. So it just happened on the East Coast in D.C., and many of the people who went are friends of mine that I met at CatalystCon West, and I followed much of the goings-on via their Twitter feeds, some of it suitable for public sharing and perhaps some of it not. Of course, I don't know if it's out on Twitter, it was already public. Maybe some of it suitable for my podcast and some of it not. Maybe that's what I meant to say. But let me give a shout-out to some important people who were there. Two people specifically who will likely be at CatalystCon West in September, and you'll see why it's important for me to talk about these people. Charlie Glickman and Aislinn Emirzian co-wrote a book that you might all be very, very interested in. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure. You need to go out and pick one up if you haven't already. The wave of men discovering all about prostate pleasure is going to get a really good kick in the pants from this book. There is so much information in there about the physiology of the prostate. He has the psychology of exploring prostate play, and the psychology of just being penetrated, period. The history of prostate massage, how, you know, what happened with that, and ailments of the prostate, and different ways that they've chosen to treat them, sexual responses of the prostate, and just much, much more. I think this book is actually the best thing to happen to pegging since the Bend Over Boyfriend films. I truly think that. And the book starts at exactly the right place, which is where the pleasure is, prostate pleasure. So it's an awesome book. Check it out. And then talking a little bit more about CatalystCon, Dee Dennis is the organizer of these conventions. She has just an amazing, tireless energy behind making them happen. She's incredible. And one of the Twitter feeds said that she announced at the end of this CatalystCon East that for the coming up CatalystCon West, which is going to be held in Woodland Hills in September, she announced that the closing keynote speaker for CatalystCon West in September will be none other than Jocelyn Elders. You know, the Surgeon General in the Clinton administration. The one who got fired for talking about masturbation, right? In 1994, she was invited to speak at the United Nations Conference on AIDS, and she was asked whether it would be appropriate to promote masturbation as a means of preventing young people from engaging in riskier forms of sexual activity, because this is a conference on AIDS, right? And she replied, quote, "I think that it is part of human sexuality, and perhaps it should be taught," end quote. That got her fired. That, along with her sarcasm intended here, really crazy views about other things like, oh, legalization of marijuana and distributing contraception in schools. And they canned her. It was such a bummer. Since then, she speaks in the lecture circuit, and she speaks out against teen pregnancy. She said some really cool things. She has said that she considers abstinence-only programs to be child abuse. I like this woman. She has chutzpah and verve, and I can't wait to meet her in September. And there's another reason I like Ms. Elders, too. And some of my longtime readers are going to know this story. When she was fired, Good Vibrations, which is a sex toy store in San Francisco, declared the month of May Masturbation Month in honor of Jocelyn Elders after she was fired. They did this. They did it mostly because they felt they needed to raise awareness that masturbation is a natural, normal, healthy act that needed more open discussion and acceptance. Everybody does it and no one is talking about it. What did I see somewhere in a poll? It was found that, let's see, more than 70 to 80% of women masturbate and 90% of men masturbate and the rest lie, right? Precisely. So, as some of you remember, last May I celebrated Masturbation Month in style and I got myself off every day for the entire month. And I wrote about it every day. I wrote about what was going through my mind when I came specifically. You know that moment when that thought sends you over the edge? Yep, wrote about it. It was wildly popular, actually. It was kind of like a fantasy of the day sort of a thing. And it certainly made for a very fun May for me, that's for sure. So I dedicated that experience to Ms. Jocelyn Elders, whose misfortune at that time was the impetus for the start of a wonderful celebration. And I hope that you are all getting ready to celebrate with me again, because, you know, May is just around the corner. Okay. Thanks for listening in. That's it for tonight. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook profile, and I also have a page that you can like. And that page just hit 500 likes. Woohoo! Celebration time. You can subscribe to my blog, but not on your Google Reader, right? My podcast is accessible through my blog as well as on iTunes. And you can send your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. I got a couple of suggestions for music to peg or be pegged by, but they were funny suggestions. And they got posted as comments after the last podcast. So I'm not talking about music yet because those were funny suggestions. I don't know what I expected from you guys. I joke around often enough. Why didn't I expect jokes from you guys, right? I was hoping to get some totally sexy bass beat, hot mama music, you know? That's what I was looking for, because I'll post my suggestions, and that's what most of mine sound like, actually. But, so, I'm still asking for music, you know? If you want to send in more jokes, that would be fine, too. Thank you all for downloading and listening. Thank you very much. And as always, always, happy pegging to you all.